Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, May 24, 2017. I am Jason Powell. Coming up after the break for non-members, my full review of WWE SmackDown, including Jinder Mahal's championship celebration, the announcement of the Money in the Bank match, and Shinsuke Nakamura's SmackDown in-ring debut. WWE SmackDown was in Toledo, Ohio at Huntington Center on Tuesday night, and this was a really good edition of the show. I thought they had a nice variety, in-ring action, some good mic work, and some good storyline development. It was also a newsworthy show with the announcement of the Money in the Bank participants. I really enjoyed this. My hit list will be out on Wednesday. It's going to be hard to find a miss, just because this was a well-done show. A couple of things you can pick apart, so it wasn't like a flawless effort or anything, but just a good two-hour show, and especially, that says a lot, coming off the heels of the WWE UK special and NXT TakeOver, and then the Backlash show, and then a three-hour marathon edition of WWE Raw. The fact that SmackDown follows all of those at the end of kind of a long run for WWE and ended up being feeling like a pretty good show, yeah, that's definitely encouraging. Let's work our way through this. I will be using Jake Barnett's live review as my outline for this. If you want to follow along at ProWrestling.net, you can certainly do so. They open things up with footage of Jinder Mahal's title victory and the reaction from fans. The broadcast team was Tom Phillips, JBL, and Byron Saxton. And then we had police sirens. A motorcade was shown arriving at the building. The police escorted kind of the similar setup that they had at Backlash with the Singh brothers in a truck and Jinder Mahal in a limo. They ended up rolling out a carpet for Jinder Mahal, the Singh brothers did, and then he exited the limo and he was lapping as he held the WWE Championship. Shane McMahon made his entrance in the arena, and it was time to announce the participants in the Money in the Bank match. This is the big ladder match. Same rules as always. WWE Championship at stake, but the winner will be able to cash in at any point for that championship. He introduced them by name, and they all came out one by one. Started with five entrants. AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, and then without introduction, Kevin Owens came out. Shane interrupted him to kind of point out, you're not in the match. And then he introduced the fifth participant, Shinsuke Nakamura, who made his full entrance and got the big reaction from the crowd and some comical reactions from the guys in the ring as he just did, because it was like they weren't even there. He just did his usual entrance and the guys behind him. Jake said they were kind of standing there awkwardly. I think some were, but like Baron Corbin's kind of looking, making a motion like, what is this? So I was getting a kick out of watching them as Shinsuke did his thing. And then Kevin Owens interrupted Shane and he said it's favoritism that people who lost on Sunday were in the match. And he said that he won his match. He even beat AJ Styles, who was in the match. And Shane actually conceded. He added Kevin Owens to the match. So it is a six-person Money in the Bank match. Baron Corbin cut off the feel-good moment for Kevin Owens by taking the mic and telling him to shut up. They had multiple mic issues. You could hear them on television. Apparently, the crowd in the building couldn't hear them, and so I don't think they were hearing themselves very well. It happened here. Corbin ended up getting a different mic, and then it happened a little bit later with Fandango, and Tyler Breeze had to hand him a different mic, too. But he ended up... they just kind of went back and forth for a bit. You had Styles at one point referring to Kevin Owens as WWE's version of Eric Cartman from South Park. He just talked about how he was going to climb the ladder and take the title. Sami Zayn piped up and said that he didn't come to SmackDown to watch AJ take victory laps. Corbin interrupted him and told him to enjoy his fluke victory, called him the Rudy of WWE, that he gets one good play during garbage time. Sami said that he'd be happy to kick Corbin in the face again, and they didn't have to wait until Money in the Bank. Ziggler interrupted and reminded everybody that he's the only one in the ring who had ever won the Money in the Bank briefcase and cashed it in successfully, and he would do it again. Sure he will. Nakamura finally spoke, and he just said that they call him Shinsuke Nakamura for now. Soon they will call him Mr. Money in the Bank. And then they ended up making some matches, Shane announcing that it would be Zayn against Corbin, and he also announced a tag match with the other four as the main event of the show. They showed Naomi and Charlotte and Becky Lynch backstage. They were all giddy, so Charlotte still in giddy mode, apparently content being a babyface, even though her team lost. We'll see if that lasts. Good opening segment. Like I say, it felt newsworthy, and that is a really loaded Money in the Bank match. Couldn't help it, though. when we finally had the list of six, like internet favorite, one-time internet favorite, referring to Dolph Ziggler, internet favorite, internet favorite. Oh, so Baron Corbin's going to win because he's not the internet darling. No, I don't know if that's what they're going to do. I wouldn't be stunned, I guess. Maybe I should be at this point, the way he's kind of been booked thus far. What about Shinsuke winning this and cashing in, announcing it ahead of time, cashing in at SummerSlam and beating Jinder there? Now, I think they may have other plans in mind. We still haven't seen Rusev. There was no sign of him on this show. He was supposed to be on last week's show and just wasn't there, and they've just kind of forgotten about it, so that's pretty odd. So I'm not quite sure what they have in mind for the title match at SummerSlam. Keep in mind, it doesn't even have to be the Money in the Bank winner. They could go with a Corbin, and then you just, you know, he kind of is more opportunistic about it. He doesn't announce ahead of time that he's going to do it. It's in play. He can tease it at SummerSlam. Heck, he could cash in at SummerSlam if he wanted to. A lot of different directions they could go with this, but one idea that I had was certainly Shinsuke winning Money in the Bank and then announcing, like a good babyface, he doesn't need to be opportunistic. He will beat Jinder by telling him ahead of time that he's going to face him at SummerSlam. Something along those lines. Then we went to the women's tag match. It was Charlotte teaming with Becky Lynch, and they defeated the team of Carmella and Natalya in 8:09. Naomi was with the babyfaces. James Ellsworth and Tamina were with the heels. It was fine. You know, it was well, another example of the babyfaces all getting along just fine. It was Becky putting Carmella in the disarmor for the win. Fans definitely into doing the woo thing whenever Charlotte breaks out some chops or just some of her father's famous his signature moves, that sort of thing. So everything is good in the world of the SmackDown female babyfaces. It's a little uneventful. I mean, there was nothing at the pay-per-view. What I'm hopeful that they're doing is they kind of want to lull the audience into a false sense of security. And I could be off on this. It may be as simple as, no, Charlotte's a babyface now. Accept it. But I'm still kind of holding out hope because I still see, hey, her money matches are with the babyfaces. It's not her against Natalya or Carmella, and certainly not Tamina, but rather against Becky Lynch and Naomi. And so, and they can have those matches as babyfaces if they want to, but I just think there's still a lot left to do with Charlotte as a heel. And so I'm kind of hoping, yeah, they lull you into a false sense of security, make it, and it's like, it's not even a question that, because why wouldn't you at least tease some potential issues? Like, I mentioned this about the match on Sunday at Backlash. I mean, there was just nothing. Why wouldn't you at least have a moment where it looked like, you know, Becky Lynch accidentally struck Charlotte or something like that, and then kind of the question of, well, geez, how's Charlotte going to react to that? And there was none of it. It's been very straightforward. This was more of the same. And so I'm kind of hoping it's not just she's a babyface, except that as much as it is, yeah, they want to kind of get you believing that she's really with them. And so that way, whenever she does turn on them finally, not to join the other women, but to be her own woman, you buy it. You fall for it. And the turn actually packs a punch. Following a commercial break, we ended up with the Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin match. Sami went over in 10 seconds. He rolled him up roughly 10 seconds into the match. Nothing to this. And then Sami was celebrating. Baron Corbin snapped and roughed up Sami Zayn, tossing him to ringside, into the timekeeper's area, hitting him with the chair. The behind the timekeepers area, this just kind of went all over the place. And so the idea was that Corbin finally snapped, and Zayn had to be stretchered out. So I'm okay with this. You know, Sami got the win at the pay-per-view too, and they easily could have fallen into the usual trap of, well, Sami got the win at the pay-per-view, so we're going to give Corbin his win back here. No one gains anything from this. And instead, it's, hey, Sami's beat this guy a couple of times, and now Corbin, though, is the guy who gets his heat right back, not because he got his win right back, but because he did something heelish. He attacked Sami Zayn, left him lying, had him stretchered out. They teased the possibility of the final fashion files for after the break, and I'm like, yes, please, that'd be fine by me. Coming out of that break, we had AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura talking about their match backstage. Nakamura noted that it was, well, he told Styles that at Money in the Bank, he would climb the ladder and turn AJ's house into his playground. And they also had made note during this that they had never teamed together before. Now, I'm not a New Japan aficionado, so I'm not sure if they're embellishing that one or if it's true. I mean, they've certainly been in the ring together, but this very well may have been, for all we know, or at least all I know, their first time teaming together. Then we ended up with that Fashion Police segment. It was actually, it wasn't really kind of, it wasn't the same kind of thing. Shane was shown on their set, basically. Well, they brought all their props to where Shane was, I guess, was the idea. His office. I love how they say it's like Stephanie and Shane's offices when it's just like it's an interview set. It's just a backstage. There's nothing office-like about it, but whatever. Fandango called him the commissioner, and Breeze asked him if he shaved his mustache. Shane said, "I never had a mustache." Then they started turning in their gear. They were resigning because they failed, and they ended up giving him like just some of the various objects that they'd been using, the badges, and then Shane told them that they'd already proved they belonged, and he booked them in singles matches against the Usos for later. They were back on the case. One of the items that each guy had was a squirt gun that they tried to turn in. They took one of them, apparently. They left one behind. Shane just picked it up, and he squirted it once, and then he just looked at it for way too long, like he'd never seen a squirt gun before. I think this is just WWE's weird production thing where they like to hold the camera shots way longer than they need to. But it seriously looked like this guy had never in his life seen a squirt gun and was just fascinated by it. I laughed, oh, louder than I have for anything that we've seen in the Fashion Files. I know some of you guys love those. I've seen Will Ferrell. He's very funny. Fandango is just a wannabe Will Ferrell. The whole act is a wannabe Zoolander. If you're digging it, good for you. I'm just not going to fake it. And so if anyone's sitting there going, "But they added a squirt gun," well, we just have very different senses of humor, is all. Coming out of a commercial break, it was time for the Punjabi celebration for Jinder Mahal. This was great. Not because of what Jinder did, just because of all the fanfare. You had all these dancers, and the ring was all made up, and it was this big elaborate thing. He got a big pyro display and all of that. And I mean, I got a big kick out of it. I thought this was really well done. Just, you know, way over the top. And WWE does this well. Like if you see, just one of the other promotions do it that has to, like, I'll just, you know, Impact, Ring of Honor were to try something like this, I think it would look really low budget. I mean, I think back to when Ring of Honor tried to do that big thing with the cabinet, and it was just like, this looks so cheesy. This is so hokey. Make this stop. WWE can pull this off. They have the production for it. They have the budget for it, you know, and they did a really good job with it. All these dancers. It just was elaborate. It was cool. As far as Jinder's promo, just more of the same, you know, with him. Yeah, he was gloating about being champion, but he was all, it was also the usual stuff about people don't like the way he looks and all of that. They judged him because of the way he looks and the way he talks. I'm about to judge him for the way he talks, and it has nothing to do with his descent. It's because he's always hoarse. He even had to clear his throat at one point. You don't hear that on WWE television. Now, these things happen, obviously. But as far as, like, you know, hey, that guy's a little hoarse, those things can happen. It's been 3 weeks in a row. Oddly enough, at Backlash, that backstage promo he cut, he sounded fine. So I don't know what it is, but yeah, these last 3 weeks, he just has sounded a little bit hoarse. And then when he had to clear his throat, I don't know. I mean, people have speculated that he has a cold, and people say to me, like, I think he has a cold. Well, maybe he does. It's a long-lasting cold, but Lord knows I've had those colds that you think will go away after a day or two, and you know, a month later, you're like, is this ever going to end? But yeah, well-done segment. No Randy Orton crashing the party, nothing like that. It was just Jinder's night and his celebration. No indication of who he will face next. I assume we're just going to get the rematch with Randy Orton. You know, everyone else is kind of tied up in Money in the Bank. And so I assume we're going to get Orton facing Jinder in a rematch at Money in the Bank. And then it'll be interesting to see what they do with the rest of the card. I mean, you have the women. I'm guessing they'll have a couple of matches. And then, you know, the tag division. But you have six guys in that, six really good guys in the Money in the Bank match, and so it's going to be spread a little thin. My thing is, I don't care because that Money in the Bank match looks so good on paper. I'm just really looking forward to that. So even if it's a weak undercard, yeah, I can live with it. And it doesn't have to be. I mean, it just depends how they utilize the talent that they have, the talent they have to work with on the undercard on that show. Good news, Lana is still coming soon. She's still. They're still playing the same video of her dancing with the chair on the stage. So I don't know when, but she is coming soon. Then we had the Usos come out. The first singles match between these teams was Tyler Breeze defeating Jey Uso in 24 seconds. There was a squirt gun distraction. Fandango sprayed Jey from ringside, and Jey charged him, and then Breeze ended up rolling him up from behind and getting the win in just 24 seconds. And then it was time for Fandango against Jimmy Uso, and this time Jey chased Breeze around the ring, and this eventually distracted Jimmy long enough for Fandango to roll him up. So the Fashion Police sweep those matches, the singles matches, not to be confused with the Hardys continuously beating Sheamus and Cesaro in singles matches on Raw. This actually led to the two of them challenging the Usos to a rematch, because the Usos were pissed and started mouthing off, and Fandango and Breeze ended up challenging them, and the Usos agreed. The referee had to get on the headset to get this confirmed. Normally, Shane McMahon would come out and announce that the match was on, because he'd be watching backstage, but in my mind, he's just still sitting backstage, just marveling over the squirt gun. Like, it's a squirt gun. I've never seen one of these before. The match itself, the Usos beat Breezango in 6:40 to retain the SmackDown tag titles. They ended up, Fandango ended up, I think it was him who took, he ended up taking a top rope splash and being pinned. So, but I like this because, I've made it clear, I'm not really into the Breezango comedy. It's not a turnoff, it's just not very funny. I want this to be funnier than it is, basically, because I really like Will Ferrell comedy, and I just don't think they're doing a great job with it. As I've said, the stuff that they've had on the wall and those Fashion File skits have been funnier than anything they've said. I did think the last one, the one that got replayed on Sunday, was probably the better of the three, but I'm just, it really hasn't done much for me. But what they did well here was those two quick pinfalls in the singles matches really got the crowd rocking in terms of when they announced it, now they're going to get the tag title shot. The crowd bought in. They were fired up for that. Like, the baby faces had momentum on their side. And so I thought it was pretty well done. Following a commercial break, Shane was backstage. All of the women other than the champion showed up. So it was five of them. They all ended up kind of making their case for who should be next in line for a title shot against Naomi. Shane ended up booking them all in a five-way elimination match. Now, I know I repeatedly screw up and call the WWE Extreme Rules main event a five-way elimination match. 205 Live got me in the habit of this. This one actually is a five-way elimination match, so they're making my life even more difficult because I can't quit saying five-way elimination as it is. It'll only be for 1 week, but for the next week, I'm going to be going five-way match. And then for the SmackDown, that'll be for Raw. And then on the SmackDown side, yes, it really is a five-way elimination match. I know I could say fatal five-way, but no. It's a five-way elimination match with, who's in this thing? Natalya, Tamina, Becky Lynch, Carmella, and Charlotte. And the winner will become a number one contender, presumably for a shot at the title at Money in the Bank. Nice touch just to advertise something for next week. I will take that. And then it was main event time, and there was a lot of time left in the show by the time they got to, even by the time the bell rang. They didn't do the entrances all over again for Nakamura and Styles, which is probably a good move. You don't want to overexpose Shinsuke's entrance. And so we ended up getting Ziggler and Owens coming out, and the main event was Shinsuke and AJ Styles defeating Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler in 25:48, so a good, long main event. Shinsuke's debut as far as an in-ring worker on SmackDown is concerned, some of the same issues that were there with the Ziggler match at Backlash were kind of present again in terms of him selling probably more than he needed to. It was a tag match. He ended up selling a little bit, and then AJ got to take a hot tag, and then they kind of cooled things down with the heels isolating AJ after stretch, and then Shinsuke got to take the tag. I mean, it didn't bother me as much here as it did on Sunday. I'll say that. But it was odd. Like, you've been, let's say you didn't even see Sunday. You've just been, you're a casual WWE viewer, and you've been waiting throughout this 6 week buildup or whatever it's been, all these different entrances we've seen for Nakamura. The time is finally here. He's going to have his first match on SmackDown. Number one, a little bit odd that they didn't save it for next week. Give it a week long buildup. You spent 6 weeks building to his pay-per-view debut, and then you just kind of turn around and give it away in the course of the show. It wasn't even like they announced ahead of time Nakamura tonight. There wasn't, that I saw anyway. Maybe I missed some kind of social media announcement or something, but even so, it just felt like, yeah, the TV fans can wait another week and do it right. That's, and putting that aside, even if you're cool with that, you waited all this time to see Shinsuke, and he sells a lot. You know, you just, there's, with that big buildup, you just kind of expect to see him plow through somebody. And not that this was ineffective. I like what we saw here more than I did the match on Sunday. I thought he came off well. He got the win for his team with the Kinshasa. He hit Owens with it and pinned him. So Nakamura pinned the U.S. champion in the to end the match. And then the broadcast team just kind of closed the show by plugging the five-way elimination match for next week involving the women. And Styles kind of sat on the ropes while Nakamura did his big celebration to close the show. And, so Nakamura came off well. It's just, kind of interesting the way they chose to do it rather than take the approach of just having him come in and be dominant. Is it going to be kind of a slow rise to the top for him? It just, after that big build, I'm surprised we didn't see it. See them take a little bit of a different approach than they did, but I thought, one of the better recent additions of SmackDown. Just not much to dislike. You know, like I say, you can kind of nitpick a couple of things, like I did with, Breezango just isn't really for me, but the crowd's obviously into them, so, maybe it's just me. Well, I know it's not, because Jake and I've talked, and Jake's kind of in the same spot that I am, and I've heard from others, so it's not just me, but hey, if it's working with the live crowd's cool. And then, just a couple of other little things with Charlotte, and then the approach they're taking with Nakamura, which, again, in this case, wasn't a bad thing, just kind of a little different than I expected them to do things. I really did think it'd just be more of a buzzsaw approach with him kind of plowing through people, at least very early in his run, and kind of until then he started to meet stronger competition maybe. But as long as it works over the long haul, and we'll see if that does. I don't think there's an issue yet. I feel better about him than I did coming out of Sunday's show, where it just was way too much selling for a guy who sells for everyone. Ziggler, normally it's Ziggler selling for 80% of a match, and in this case, I think he dominated about 75% of the match, so it was just a weird choice. But again, a good edition of SmackDown. Thank you so much for listening today. I am guessing that tomorrow you will probably hear a Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. Don't hold me to that. I've got to check in with Will and Jake and find out what the recording plan is. But I do know that later today, .NET members are going to listen to the new .NET Weekly audio show. Jake Barnett and I will be getting together around noon, and so we should have that out sometime early Wednesday afternoon. And of course, if you were interested in membership to the ad-free version of the website, you want to hear that audio and all the audio content we've had out recently, you know the drill by now. Just enter the sign-up area, three different pricing options, $7.50 gets you in the door for 1 month. You can also knock $2 off that price by signing up for annual membership. You can save a little bit of money as well by signing up for the 6 month. Again, all the details available on the main page of ProWrestling.net. Follow the brand on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet, and I will talk to you again very soon. Take care.